Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. Everyone, and welcome back. Hey, how about that? Moshe Feiglin gets a quarter of the Likud vote, and Bibi locks him out of his victory party and wouldn't even shake his hand. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn, your host. You are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. Yes, folks, the former prime minister who shook hands with Arafat refused to shake hands with Feiglin. Well, the truth really does scare, folks. Especially Netanyahu, going for another try at prime minister. He's got to contend with the Feiglin force of belief-based leadership. Well, in the end, it's always what God wants anyway. Well, our parsha this week is Kitzetz. This is the parsha loaded with God's commandments. Well, 74, the 613 commandments are in this one. What to do with a captive in war, the inheritance of the firstborn, the rebellious son, burial rights, returning a lost object, sending the mother birth away, building a fence around your roof, penalties for adultery, and on and on. Well, one can see that as the Jews get closer to living a pure spiritual existence, God speeds up the process to make sure they know how to treat each other and how to live in this world as they prepare it for God as his dwelling place. And speaking of dwelling, our staff is ready to dwell with you for the next hour with the best in Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Mr. Bor DeLynn. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. Of course, we'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in the half hour. Special guest today is Mr. Eli Klein, director of the Jewish Agency's Na'ale Elite Academy program. Many people have no idea what Israel has to offer, and this exciting program is just one of them. It's a way for high school students to study in Israel on a full scholarship with the hope that they will fall in love with Israel and eventually make Aliyah, to permanently come home and reside in their ancestral homeland. Stay tuned. Don't miss this. And if you haven't sponsored a segment yet, please step up and do so now. We want to continue to bring you the best and only authentic Jewish radio in Pittsburgh, but we must have your support. If everyone helps a little, nobody has to help a lot. Call us and get the mitzvah today and be ready for the Jewish high holidays. 412-979-5770 or jewishexperience@verizon.net. Consider sponsoring your favorite segment. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson and his popular story segment is now available for sponsorship. The community news and announcements, the popular feminine perspective, and Rabbi Eisen's moment in Jewish history are also available, so call right now and reserve your spot. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, Pittsburgh Simcha Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishe, and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free. We love to send these out. We're doing it all the time. Call us at 412-979-5770. Hold up those papers on that refrigerator, or send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:47 p.m. An insight on this week's Parsha is our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In Likutei Torah, the Alter Rebbe explains the general significance of the month of Elul. During the entire month, Hashem's presence is revealed in our lowly earthly world, with His 13 attributes of mercy. Although we may not be on the level to actually see this revelation in a physical way, the godly soul within us is certainly aware of it. The essence of the godly soul, which always remains bound up with Hashem above, very strongly feels this happening and transmits this message down to the lower levels of the godly soul, which are bound up with the body. As long as there is nothing blocking these signals, meaning sins which may cause interference, the part of the godly soul connected to the physical body will also feel Hashem's presence during this time. Despite this level of holiness which is revealed, the days of Elul are not elevated to holy days like Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. They remain weekdays, and we are able to continue to be involved in our normal, ordinary weekday activities. The Alter Rebbe compares this scenario to a king who is traveling to the royal city where his palace is located. On his way, he passes through the outlying fields. During this time, all the king's subjects are permitted to go out and greet him. While the king is in the field, he in turn greets everyone warmly and shows his smiling face to all. This gives everyone the opportunity to approach the king and request his or her needs. However, when the king enters his palace, only a few select individuals are able to enter into his presence. Even these people must first pass through numerous heavily guarded doorways. Similarly, the month of Elul is a time when Hashem comes to be with us in the midst of our earthly workaday existence. This is why at this time we are not obligated to refrain from our workday activities, and focus solely on Hashem's presence, as we must do on Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah, and festivals. This signifies that, in anticipation of the coming year, Hashem is making Himself very accessible to us, giving us the opportunity to return to Him and ask Him to grant us a good, sweet year. This is why every day during this month of Elul, we recite the 27th Psalm of David. Hashem is my salvation, L'David Hashem Ori, and we blow the shofar. The call of the shofar is a simple, unadorned sound which binds together the deepest, innermost level of our souls with the innermost, highest levels of godliness. This phenomenon occurs in each Jew even while we wear our weekday clothes and are involved in our ordinary worldly activities. However, what is incumbent upon us is that we leave our mundane, everyday interest and go out to greet the King. We must turn away from those activities and habits that we have become accustomed to during the rest of the year, which are not utilized to serve Hashem, and focus on going out to greet the King to adjust our attention toward Him. This is a general preparation for the coming year. In a general way, we take upon ourselves the yoke of Hashem's kingdom. This general expression of our acceptance of Hashem's yoke makes it possible to approach the King and ask for all of our needs, and that we should have a good and sweet new year.
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Time for a moment in Jewish history with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Approximately 50 years before 3448, a body of 120 of the greatest Torah scholars assumed the spiritual leadership of the Jewish people. They were known as the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, the men of the Great Assembly. Among their accomplishments were abolishing the desire for idolatry, Idol worship was a major scourge during the First Temple era. The sages, realizing that the Jewish people were not on a sufficiently high spiritual level to cope with the desire to worship idols, prayed to God to remove this urge from the Jewish people. He assented to their request. In later times, under Greek and Christian rule, Jews generally worshiped idols to gain acceptance by the ruling power and not out of any inner conviction. However, since the world was created in balances, God replaced the desire to worship idols with atheism. The Anshei Knesset Gedola also arranged the oral law. From the time of Moshe, the oral law was meticulously preserved and accurately transmitted throughout the generations. However, this information was not taught with any formal text. The 120 scholars used precise wording and systematized the oral law into tractates and subjects. Scholars memorized this material, which later became the basis of the written Mishnah. They also created rabbinic decrees. The rabbis did not create a new rabbinic Judaism to replace the old observances. The laws of the Torah remained unchanged. However, since spiritual levels were weakening, the sages adopted preventive measures to forestall greater religious backsliding. Authority to do so is based on a verse in the Torah in Leviticus chapter 18 that enjoins Torah leaders to enact safeguards to preserve mitzvah observance. Rabbinic decrees were not imposed in an autocratic, tyrannical manner, but rather with the agreement of the Jewish people. Decrees that did not have the assent of the majority of Jews, or that were deemed too difficult to follow, were revoked. The Anshei Knesset Gedola also sealed the scriptures. To ensure that no charlatans could claim divine revelation and lead the Jewish people astray, the Anshei Knesset Gedola sealed the Bible, the Tanakh. Henceforth, no material could be added or subtracted. Although all this material was accurately passed down throughout the generations, there was a danger that it would eventually be forgotten. First, the sages decided which writings to include in the scriptural canon and which to leave out. The precise order of the biblical books was also determined at this time. And on that note, I remain Yosef Eisen, wishing you a very, very pleasant Shabbos.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
Mayor Eli Mayala, the rocket-ravaged city of Sderot, says he will not run for a third term. In the past 8 years, nearly 2,000 rockets have fallen on Sderot. Quoting the mayor, the state is irresponsible in not finding a solution to the Qassam rockets. It deals only with the symptoms and makes mistake after mistake. We need to punish the Arabs of Gaza for every rocket they shoot. It saddens me that the government delays the war on terror and gambles with the lives of the residents. Angry Sderot parents had to be removed by security guards after barging into a meeting between Education Minister Yuli Tamir and Sderot school principals Friday morning, ahead of a meeting between Tamir, Moyal, and parent representatives in light of threats not to open the school year due to the security situation. The city has revealed figures showing that enrollment for the school year is down by 700 students from last year. A Qassam rocket launched between Thursday night and Friday morning, landing closer to Ashkelon to the north, more than 30 rockets and mortar shells landing in the western Negev since Wednesday afternoon. Figures released by the PLO's Central Bureau of Statistics reveal that over one-third of Arab youth living in Judea, Samaria, and Gaza would leave the land of Israel if they had the means. Inter-Arab violence, unemployment, and poverty are some of the main reasons for the exodus. In the last year alone, it is estimated that tens of thousands of Arabs living in the PLO-assigned areas have left Israel to begin new lives abroad. Razi Hamad has resigned as spokesman for Hamas leader and former PLO Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh, citing Hamas's refusal to take the first step toward renewing ties with Fatah, according to the London-based newspaper Ashark al-Awsat. The newspaper reporting Hamad did not agree with his group's violent expulsion of Fatah from Gaza and said not enough has been done to, in his words, leave the trap of current relations between the two groups. Hamas authorities in Gaza are combining the police with the executive force militia, according to Hamad's replacement Tahir Anunu. He told the Bethlehem-based Ma'an news agency the reason for the merger is the fight against drug smuggling along the Mediterranean coast. The Al-Quds Brigades of Islamic Jihad declaring that all its military activities, including Qassam rocket fire, are being coordinated with Hamas, according to Israel government radio. Al-Quds Brigade spokesman Abu Ahmed says the group cannot decide on its own to stop or renew the rocket fire. A high-ranking Israeli officer telling the Jerusalem Post that Israel is expanding its deployment of anti-missile defenses in the north to cope with the threat of attack from Syria and Iran. Quoting the officer, "Our assumption is that the next war will be characterized by missile onslaughts, and lots of them. We can tell from the way our neighbors are training that this is what they are planning, and that we can expect a repeat of what happened during the second Lebanon war." In addition to use of the locally produced aerodefense system, the military is working with the United States on the possibility of integrating American systems should the need arise. Veterans of the first Gulf War are being brought in to share their expertise with today's soldiers. After failing to prevent Arab and leftist radicals from destroying a Jewish vineyard near Neria in the Binyamin region near Jerusalem, despite being warned in advance this past week, the army says it will catch them the next time. A lone patrol car, the belated response to an attack by 100 people on more than 4,000 vines owned by farmer Shlomi Cohen. The Arabs and leftists also burned down a new watering system, the overall damage estimated at over 100,000 shekels. Likud Chairman Benjamin Netanyahu has urged Strategic Threats Minister Avigdor Lieberman, head of Israel Our Home, or Yisrael Beitenu in Hebrew, to run on a joint list in the next general elections. The tactic would give the Likud more votes from the Russian immigrant sector. Netanyahu and Lieberman have not reached an agreement, but have discussed the idea, according to sources quoted by the Post. Lieberman's party currently part of the ruling Kadima Party coalition government. Netanyahu is said to be willing to promise Israel Beitenu spots on the Likud list, in contrast to disgruntled Kadima Knesset members, a third of whom are seeking to leave the increasingly unpopular party with the prospect it won't get enough votes for them to be reelected. A new poll reveals that less than a third of Likud voters agree with Chairman Netanyahu's call to expel Manhigut Yehudit Jewish Leadership faction head Moshe Feiglin from the party, following Feiglin's strong showing in the recent Likud elections. Hear what Moshe Feiglin has to say with Yishai Fleischer on demand on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Yud Aleph, or the 11th of Elul on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast: severe heat stress and a fire warning in most places Friday and Shabbat, with slight cooling but warmer than usual temperatures Sunday and Monday. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
That was a look at Jerusalem weather, and now for your local weather, here's meteorologist Glenn Foxen.
On the weather map, there is a southwest flow of very warm and humid air ahead of an approaching cold front and around a high-pressure system to our south and east. As a result, the weather in Pittsburgh this Shabbos will be mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. The forecast high temperatures on Shabbos will be between 80 and 85 degrees, and the nighttime lows around 70 degrees. The cold front will pass through western Pennsylvania on Sunday, followed by more seasonal temperatures and drier conditions. Under partly cloudy skies, the daytime temperature will rise into the low 80s, and the nighttime lows will fall into the upper 60s. So with the improving weather expected during the time frame from Sunday through Tuesday, enjoy your remaining days of summer. This is meteorologist Glenn Foxen wishing everyone good weather and great times this Shabbos.
We want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
As we roll toward the exciting month of Tishrei and all the excitement and simcha that involves, the mazel tovs start to increase. Yaakov and Cynthia Abrams on the marriage of their daughter Devorah, and it was a great affair last week. Bobby Zimmer on the birth of her second grandson, Rivka, and David Zimmer. Murray and Elvira Pfeffer on the marriage of their granddaughter, Golda Lonsman, on the marriage of their granddaughter, Racheli Pfeffer. And Lion and Ruth Mandelkorn on the birth of a great-granddaughter. Finally, Fishy and Leah Milch on the marriage of their son. Mazel tov to everybody. That's great. All right, some events looking around the community. The community Pirkei Avos classes getting ready to wind up at the end of the summer, but they're still occurring now in area synagogues in memory of Mrs. Miriam Nadoff. The Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park is this Sunday, finally, August 26th. Here it is. Tickets are available at synagogues and Pinskers. Go out and join them. Have a great time, great fun. Then we get the meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. Program's a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Program's not for women only. Men are invited. It's having great success throughout the community. More and more people taking advantage of it. More and more people losing the weight and looking great and keeping it off. For more information, call Elon at 412-422-2224. 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can do it by calling 412-979-5770 or email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:47 p.m. We're very excited to have the microphones today on the Jewish Experience radio program, Mr. Eli Klein, who is the director of the Na'ale Elite Academy program for the Jewish Agency. This is a program designed to acquaint students with Israel. They come in the 10th grade. They stay for 3 years on a full scholarship, attend high school, integrate themselves into Israeli culture, as well as hopefully matriculate with a bagrut or a degree, high school diploma from high school in Israel, and go on to do whatever they want to do and hopefully make Aliyah. Eli, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, tell us a little bit about how the program got started. I mean, this seems like it's an incredible financial commitment to get these students, and you're really taking students from America. They've got American values and feelings, and, you know, they're used to American culture, and you're throwing them into Israeli culture, and yes, they have a Jewish background per se, but how do you make this transition? How did the program get started? Tell us a little bit about it.
Sure. So I'll start from the beginning. As you noted, it has a dual name. It is Na'ale, the Elite Academy program. Na'ale is the name of the, I guess you'd say, the larger program that was started over 15 years ago. It was started as Na'ale, which is a mnemonic for Noar Ole Lifnei Horim, that the students, the youth, go ahead of their parents. And it was established for larger communities that were having trouble making their way over to Israel. And it was the mass aliyah of the Jews from the former Soviet Union, as well as a little bit after that, our Ethiopian brethren. And the Na'ale program established itself as a way to allow those families to take the biggest hurdle out of their aliyah, which was their teenage kids, who were having a hard time in the transition, coming, being pulled out of schools, social circles, mm-hmm. and moving to an entirely different culture. So the Na'ale program was started, funding them for the entire high school career, at least from the beginning of 10th grade. 10th grade they integrated, 11th and 12th grade they really felt, they made a perfect transition with the culture, and by the time they reached a 12th grade, you could really not tell the difference between the Israeli students and the students who came from other countries, and they graduated with full Bagrut certification. As the years went on and different countries started to become interested in the program for essentially the same reasons, the program was started in those countries and they went through the process there. It was introduced into South Africa, into South America, into different European countries were interested, and finally 4 years ago was introduced here into North America. Now the North American market was a little bit different, where there were a lot of people that were indeed interested in the program in terms of wanting to make their aliyah that much easier, but it was also, you know, an interest of families who maybe had aliyah as an inkling, as a thought, but weren't necessarily committed to aliyah. Still, we wanted to provide a program for them, so that's why we changed the name of Na'ale slightly to the Elite Academy program. Still, same basis, same idea. Students begin in the 10th grade. They become acclimated with the language and the culture in that year, and then they're integrated into the Israeli schools, in the Israeli school system, and they do take the Bagrut. But the idea was that the pressure of Aliyah was off. Still, Aliyah is still an option. A lot of our graduates, they themselves as individuals make Aliyah, and it also helps families who are planning on making Aliyah do that as well. But the pressure of Aliyah is off. It is co-sponsored by the Jewish Agency for Israel and the Ministry of Education, as it always has been. And we have over 50 affiliate schools in the network helping all of these students from around the world come and integrate into the Na'ale system. Of those 50, or over 50 schools actually, four are set aside for the North American program. There's the Mussenson Youth Village in Hod HaSharon. They were our anchor to the program. They started with us all the way back 4 years ago, and they've been incredible ever since. They're the secular mix program. We have Ulpana Neve Sara Herzog, which is a B'nai Akiva religious girls' school. We have Yeshivat Ohel Shlomo, newly added this year, which is a Be'er Sheva-based religious boys' B'nai Akiva school as well. And then there's the Beit Rivka High School, which is a Chabad school for girls based in Kfar Chabad. And this year we actually have two students, I believe, that are near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
A Glin, a Yaakov Glin going to Yeshivat Ohel Shlomo, and then a Devorah Glin going to Beit Rivka Girls High School.
Yeah, so let's, before we go on, you mentioned Mosenzon, I think, Mosenzon?
Mosenzon, yes.
Mosenzon. Is a mixed secular. What do you mean by mixed secular?
It appeals to a lot of different backgrounds. We have in the Elite Academy program, when you go and you recruit for a program like ours, it's really not for everyone, but it's for a lot of different people from a lot of different places and a lot of different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
There are students who are from, you know, completely secular backgrounds. They live in little towns, whether they have Jewish communities or not, and they go to public schools, and they're looking for, you know, to be part of something something larger, something bigger than themselves. And this kind of an Israel experience seems like a good thing for them, to get better acquainted with Israel, to get better acquainted with their own Judaism. So they're attracted to a school like Mosenzon. You also have those that are affiliated, students who come from smaller or even medium-sized communities that have conservative, reform backgrounds, and even some who even go to the Hebrew schools, we have students coming from Frisch, from Rambam, from other big-name schools. Really, it's across the board. So when we say it's a secular mixed school, what we're saying is, yes, there are boys and girls together, and yes, it appeals to students from reform, conservative, secular, and Masorati backgrounds. The large majority of the Israeli contingent, we have students that come from backgrounds, they themselves were born Israelis, and or their parents are Israelis themselves, and their parents want them to go back and feel what they felt in high school. They grew up in high school in Israel and went to the high schools there, and they had to come to America for whatever reason. But they want their kids to be able to go back and get that Israeli high school experience. So the large majority of those Israeli families will send them to the secular mixed program in Mosenzon Youth Village.
Okay, so how do you identify the ideal student? Obviously, you're doing a great job. You got 96%, as you mentioned, going into the program and actually successfully completing it. That's an incredible number that I think you ought to be proud of. But on the other hand, it's unheard of. So, I mean, in a sense, you just talk about universities and incoming classes and outgoing classes and so forth. 96%. So how do you identify and what are you looking for in your ideal student?
Okay, so 96%, yes, I'll explain what that percentage is. That means that 96% of the students that come into the Elite Academy program, the North American version of NAALE, not only do they come in and succeed and do well and reach their own personal goals, they also are fully integrated into the Israeli classes. They read, write, and speak Hebrew fluently, so much so that they take the Bagrut certification, which is the basis of the Israeli system, and they graduate with distinction, which, as you said, yes, it's an incredible, incredible, percentage and milestone for us at the program and across the board, even on the national average. The national average for regular Israeli students is just above 60%.
Hmm.
So it's the process that we go through, which I'll explain in a second, and the personal attention that they get both from the Elite Academy NAALE staff as well as the staff at the schools that we choose. So the way the process works, as you know, having gone through it yourself, is we start off with however it is that the students and or the parents heard about the program, they're referred to their local representative, their local shaliach, and eventually they wind up coming to me. We start a process where they learn a little bit about the program, and hopefully they make it to the screening process. We have a screening process that does entail some written testing, meeting with the chief psychologists of NALA, which are specially certified psychologists by the Board of Education, the Ministry of Education of the State of Israel, to really make sure that the students that we have coming into the program are well-rounded, both, you know, socially, academically, and in every sphere of their life, but also they can take on a challenge as big as this. Not every kid is made to go 6,000 miles away from home and excel. It's a tough thing, and we're looking for special kids. But we do find a good percentage of kids that are willing to do this. Not only are they willing, but they're able, and they have the wherewithal to take on this challenge. We're also obviously looking for kids with good academic standing in the schools that they're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all, the ability and the will to learn. And again, yes, to be acclimated and transitioned into the Israeli system, the Israeli language, and the Israeli culture.
Okay, so obviously this is not an inexpensive process, and having all these students come from all these countries around the world has got to be an incredible bill. And the Jewish Agency is handling this. So how does the Jewish Agency, number one, get the money that it does to do this? And number two, how does it measure its success? What kind of yardsticks is it using to know whether its money is well spent?
Well, it's a project of the Jewish Agency and the Ministry of Education, and whereas, you know, it could be seen as a cop-out answer, but it's definitely not that the investment into any Jewish youth is an investment enough itself, and, you know, any benefit that comes out of that, any reward that you reap from that is worth the money spent. But in actuality, there are special monies that are set aside every single year. A budget is set aside both on the, you know, the international level and for those just for the elite academy coming out of North America. And the Jewish Agency sees success in a few different ways. Obviously, the program is run by the Aliyah Department of the Jewish Agency for Israel. There are many Israel Aliyah centers around the country with shlichim. Somewhere along the line in the process, the students as well as their parents do meet the local representatives, as you did. And the Aliyah Department is obviously looking for, hopefully, one of our ideals, one of our goals, is it would be wonderful if the students fell in love with Israel and they did indeed become the anchors for their parents to make the full family transition of making Aliyah to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Even if that weren't to happen, and the student themselves decided they wanted to make Aliyah, that would also be wonderful. Even if that didn't happen, and the student decides that they wanted to spend some post-high school time in Israel, whether it be going to university, going to college, spending some time doing Shirut Lumi, or doing army service, that's also wonderful. But even if that doesn't happen, and the student goes back home, finishing high school, feeling accomplished, and they become ambassadors of good feeling for the State of Israel, that is well worth the investment. Because as much as we do need, and we encourage, and we push to make sure that as many Jews as possible make Aliyah and bring their talents and skills to the land of Israel so that we can make sure that the land of Israel continues, it's also, you know, we need some over here. We need people that will continue to bring the good feeling back and forth from the United States and every other country around the world to Israel. So those are our goals, and we measure our success not on a dollars and cents, but really on there are successes every day. We have students who go from year to year in Na'aleh, and then before you know it, they're graduating. And yes, there are a lot of students that are planning on making Aliyah. There are a lot of students that are planning on going to the army. And there are some students that, as we said, we're just as proud of for coming back and wanting to spread the word about what an incredible experience they had. And every one of them was an incredible investment. And we look forward to many more investments.
Very good. And we're almost out of time. But one of the things I want to do is give you an opportunity to let people know how to get in touch with you and how to get the process started if they or their children that are listening to this broadcast have an interest in pursuing this exciting program.
Okay. So the Elite Academy program, again, is run by the Israel Aliyah Center, a subdivision known as the Israel Program Center. You can visit us at www.israelprograms, that's Israel Programs with an S, .org. You can also reach us directly by, you can call me at 212-339-6920 to discuss the Elite Academy with me directly. On IsraelPrograms.org, you'll see the Elite Academy as well as other Israel-related post-high school options and programs. But for the Elite Academy program, which is a fully subsidized program by the Jewish Agency for Israel and the Ministry of Education for students between the ages of 14 and 9 months and 16 and 6 months, that's those essentially in the 10th and 11th grades, we look forward to hearing from you and talking about the next great step, which is your child's introduction into the great world of education in the Holy Land.
Great. Eli Klein, director of the Na'ale Elite Academy program for the Jewish Agency. It's been a pleasure to have you this afternoon on The Jewish Experience. Have a great Shabbos.
Thank you.
Moshe
Lord, give me. like what you hear or you have an idea for selections on a future show, you can email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll try and do it.
Now it's time to take a look at the feminine side of things with the feminine perspective. Here's Miss Devorah DeLynn.
One of the hardest things I've had to do as a teacher is admit that I'm wrong. After studying for many years, I was finally able to become a piano teacher. Imagine my embarrassment when I realized I had told my student the incorrect name for a note. Well, we're only human, but a teacher is held to a higher degree of trust than most other people. So when we mess up, it's kind of awkward. Women have always been the teachers of the Jewish people. The responsibility of chinuch, education, falls onto our shoulders. But even the greatest of women make mistakes. The humility to admit to and correct it is the lesson to learn. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Ki Tsetse, we read about a lot of circumstances dealing with women, and not many of them are good situations. This is why the Tzenurena chooses to bring out some uncomfortable truths about women, so that we will be aware of them and not, chas v'shalom, fall into the circumstances described. Rabbi Levi says that there are four not good traits that some women possess, even the righteous ones. They desire for things that they shouldn't, as we find in the case of Chava, who ate fruit from the Eitz Hada'as, the tree of knowledge. They wish to know about everything, even things that are none of their concern. We see this with Sarah Imenu, where the pasuk says, V'Sarah Shama'at, and Sarah was listening to Avram's conversation with the angels. They are jealous of others, as we see in the case of Rachel, who was jealous of her sister Leah's many children. Some are lazy, as we see again with Sarah, whom Avram rebuked, saying, hurry, with three seim of flour. Our sages say there are two other negative character traits that show up in some women. They cannot bear something they don't like, as we see with Sarah, who was angry at Abraham because of Hagar. And they speak a lot, as we find with Miriam, the sister of Moshe and Aaron, who spoke too much. This does not mean that everyone possesses these traits. Our sages bring them out, not chas v'shalom to humiliate our righteous mothers, but because they are very common among the female population. And since we are held, as teachers and leaders, at such a high standard, we must make every effort to correct our mistakes, not only to teach the next generation the right way, but also to feel confident about ourselves, to know and feel that we're doing the right thing. The parsha ends with a reminder about the nation of Amalek, the people who came against the Jews for the express purpose of fighting them to humiliate them and Hashem. I couldn't help but consider the true meaning of this verse. Yes, we are commanded to destroy this nation because of what they did, but there are other things that try to humiliate us and incite us to go against Hashem's wishes. Our own bad character traits, the Amalekim within us, these are the things that we should be working to destroy. By working on perfecting ourselves, we are really perfecting the world. We're making it a better place for us and for our children. Have a good Shabbos.
Now it's time for another classic story from our master storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
During the summer months, Rav Moshe Schreiber, the Rav of Preshburg and Dean of its yeshiva, would take some of his students to a village in the countryside. There was but one Jew in this village, and he insisted that it was only proper that the rabbi should be his guest. Although this Jew was totally ignorant of Torah, the rabbi complied. After the first Shabbos spent at his home, the man went to Preshburg in an agitated state and declared that he had personally seen the rabbi violate Shabbos. The Jewish community was understandably stunned, and when word got back to the rabbi, he requested that the man come before him and testify to the incident, which he promptly did. "My father was a truly observant Jew," the man began earnestly, evoking sacred memories, "and I knew that everything he did was proper. Every Shabbos morning, after the first part of the services, my father would immediately make Kiddush, taking some schnapps and refreshments. Rabbi Schreiber, I noticed, failed to do so, waiting until the services were entirely over. Since he did things differently than my father, he was surely in violation of the Shabbos. Everyone present had a good laugh at this poor fellow's expense, but Rabbi Schreiber, rather than being irritated by his unwarranted accusation, was most impressed by the man's sincerity. "I greatly respect this man," he confided. "Our survival throughout the diaspora has always been a direct result of the commitment to preserving our tradition. And this man's assertion that anyone who does things differently than his father did must be guilty of a violation of Shabbos is a most welcome perspective. Let us adhere," the rabbi said, "to practices that our ancestors followed, and acknowledge that any deviation, regardless how minor it may appear, constitutes a violation of the Torah." This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
As we wrap up another exciting Jewish Experience radio program, just want to give you a couple of reminders. Pirkei Avos classes for women still occurring in the community as we wrap up the summer. Jewish Community Day at Kennywood Park is this Sunday, August 26th. Tickets are available at Synagogues and Pinsker's. Meeting of Food Addicts Recovery Anonymous, Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. Call Ilan at 412-422-2224. Don't forget, if you want to have your Mazel Tovs on our program like all these people do, you can give us a call at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is 7:47 p.m., and we'd like to thank, of course, Mr. Ellie Klein for being with us, who's the director of the NALA Elite Academy program, for informing us about a great community resource that you probably didn't know about and now do. Give your kids 3 years in Israel. Incredible education. And, of course, our faithful and cutting-edge staff, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, MusicalMoish.com, Dr. Michael Shulman, Ms. Devorah DeLynn, and, of course, our ever-present, ever-exciting, Jeremiah Lewassenstein, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time once again is 7:47 p.m. It's been a lot of fun. But I do have to run. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. See you all next week. Same Yiddish time, same Yiddish channel.
Shalom. Shabbat. Malachi Shalom, Malachi El.